start doing the exercises, this would be impossible. Just the number of functions in Mathematica, I think it is already around 10,000, which is like 1/3 of the human vocabulary. So it will be like teaching a new language and then starting to apply it, so it's really not feasible. So instead, I will show you some of the things that in principle should allow you to overcome the barrier of potential that we need to start learning a new computational language. But after learning a bit, I think that everyone can just learn the rest by himself, by or herself, by going just into the help menu or by just playing a lot. So, unless there are no questions, let's start. Let's pick the handout which says basics of Mathematica grammar. It should say grammar, but it says grammar. So, but it should be grammar. And let's all open our computers on with Mathematica. Okay? So the first thing that I like to do when I start a notebook, let's write a title. So let's all write, say basics. This is probably too small for you to read, right? So let's zoom here. It's better? Can you read or should I zoom a bit more? Okay, so let's write basics of Mathematica. And now this is something that, this is a command line. So now Mathematica thinks that I write basics times of times Mathematica. Okay, so it's a product of three things. This is not what I want. I want this to be a title. So what I do is I select this cell. So I click here, I selected the cell. So you see that it's now light blue where my mouse is. I go to cell, convert to, no, I always do this wrong. It's format, style. And then I can choose a title, subtitle, sub-subtitle, section, and so on. So let's choose, say, title. And you see that there is here this symbol 1, which in Mac means command 1, which is a shortcut. So I will always use these shortcuts. And you see that there is a shortcut, command 1 for title, command 2 for subtitle, command 3 for sub-subtitle, and so on. So this shortcut is very useful, because this is what allows us to create titles, sections in Mathematica, minimize sections, and so on. So we will be always using these shortcuts. So see what they are in Linux. I think probably they will be just control 1 up to control 9. But check what they are, and let's convert this into title. Now it's a title, it's the basics of Mathematica. And this is still quite an ugly notebook. So we can go here and do format, style sheet, creative, natural color. And this will already make it somehow a bit nicer and a bit more readable. And especially for the lectures, it's good because as we will see the input and the output, it has different colors, so it's good for you to be able to distinguish which is which. And now, basics of Mathematica, we create another one. So notice that there is this line here below basics of Mathematica. When you have this line and the cursor is blinking there, it means that when you start writing, a new cell will be created. So let's create a subtitle which says basic input, and again we select the cell. I just click shift up to select the cell, and now I will use the shortcut. I will use command 4, which makes it a section, to make it a nice section, basic input. Okay, so I selected the cell and created it. So does everyone have a title and a section? Now let's click again down here below basic input and write 2+2, and now we will start playing. So does someone not have this on the computer? So tell me, I can go around and help someone if there is some trouble. So this is what I would like you to have now.
It's one person.
Sorry? Here, okay, good. It's not, there's no Mathematica? Not yet? Okay, so you can try to see from one of your colleagues, and hopefully tomorrow you can have Mathematica. Yeah? Good. Okay. So now let's run this 2+2. So you write 2+2, and you click, and can you try to evaluate this 2+2? So to evaluate, you need to click Shift Enter. Good.
work managed to establish this machine.
And I think you're just applying it to
X and constant glass.
I think you have to select the whole thing, not just a blank.
No. No, any, it doesn't matter. You don't need to select anything. Okay, there's something funny here. Ivan was not able to select the style sheet. Does someone have the same problem? That the style sheet is not working? No? Okay, then it's your computer. Tough luck. You are doomed to live with ugly style sheet. Or send a mail to Wolf. Okay, so 2 + 2, shift enter, and you get 4. Okay? Actually, it's not shift enter, it's enter, as I was told recently, because actually the enter key is called return, and when you click shift, you convert it into enter. But okay, that's extremely useless information, so basically it's shift enter. And we run this. So now let's follow the... So this is how we compute something. Let's follow the handout, and now there's something called symbols. So you see that basic input is in some color, symbols is in some other color, so we can select subsection, so it's format, style, and the subsection. So it's command 5. Before I used command 4. So let's use now command 5 to create here a new one, which is called symbols. So we write and we convert to 5. And now there is a section symbols. And symbols is about how to enter alpha, because we are not going to use something like alpha square and stuff like this. This is extremely ugly. I mean, we could do it. But there is a way for Mathematica to enter these symbols reasonably. To enter alpha in a reasonable way. And what you do to enter symbols in a nice way is you click escape, and when you click escape, you see these 3 dots appear there in the corner, in the left, right? Please tell me if I'm going too fast or if you're not being able to typeset while I speak. Yes.
So you click escape?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I click escape, and this symbol appears. Then I click A, and then A appears, of course. And then I click escape again, and the A will be converted into an alpha. You see? So escape, A, escape, creates an alpha. So does everyone manage to have an alpha on the screen? Yes? Who does not manage to have an alpha? Who does not have an alpha? No? Not yet?
So after I type the symbols, it just continues on when I type alpha. Subsection.
Yeah, so if you have symbols and then you want to write something new, you should click below.
Yeah.
This big line will appear. And then you start writing and a new cell will appear. So if you want a new cell, you click below all the cells, a big line appears, then you start writing and a new cell automatically appears. Okay, so let's try the other examples that are in the file. I don't know what they are, but escape, b escape gives beta, escape, t escape gives tau, escape, inf escape gives infinity. So can someone? Okay, there are other ones which are more like LaTeX, for example, belongs to escape / in, this is how you typeset in LaTeX belongs to, and then escape again, and this gives this belonging to. Okay? So we have all these symbols here, so they are all escape something escape. A, B, T, inf, / in. Okay? Good. So symbols, escape, in. Now we click below everything else and we create a new section. So again, command 5 or control 5 or whatever and write formulas. Okay? And now please pay attention to this step, because this is why we are creating all these titles and so on. It's not just to be pretty, but really to be extremely useful. So please pay attention to this step now. Now, what I'm going to do is, I click here on the right, and I select all the cells, you see, on this subsection, on the subsection which was basic input. You see it's in blue. Can you see that it is selected? And now, let's double click there. And now it minimizes, you see? And now symbols contain all this junk which is inside. Now this is extremely important to keep your notebooks tidy and small, because otherwise if you don't start creating these sections, soon you will have some huge monster and you will be completely lost inside the notebook. So it's really important to have these clean titles, subtitles, and so on. Otherwise, believe me, you will be, in no time, you will be fighting against Mathematica instead of using Mathematica. Okay, so now we go to formulas, and this is where we learn that there are some shortcuts to enter formulas. So if we have x over y, okay, we can run, and this gives this, it gives x over y, but we can click, I mean, in Mac, I don't know, in Mac it's just control slash, so we click and automatically disappears. So you see in handout, this is control and then this slash, which goes from left down to right up. Okay?
How did you do
it? I did control slash. It's in the handout, you see? No. Control plus slash. Okay? Did everyone manage to do this fraction automatically? And now you can just write whatever you want. You can put one half. Okay, I wrote one and then I clicked down and then I entered two. And this is a nice way of entering input. I mean, it's somehow nicer than before. Now we can have one half plus, okay, and another useful shortcut is control two. At least in Mac it's control two. I think it's control two in Windows as well. Control two, and that creates a square root. So one half plus square root of 5. Okay? Or one half plus square root of 5/2. How do we do 1 half plus square root of 5/2? Okay, one way is to first enter the fraction, so control slash, then we could do control 2 to put the 5, and then a 2 here, and we can have 1 half plus this. But if you already wrote something, it's somehow useful to know that you can select this square root of 5, and now click control slash, as you would do to make a fraction. And automatically, she will create a fraction and she will put the square root of 5 on top. So you don't have to redo again. So if I now click, so let's copy this down here. If I click the square root of 5 and if I click control slash, it will automatically put the square root of 5 upstairs. Okay, so can everyone enter this 1/2 plus square root of 5/2? I'm already creating the next subsection called help. Again, it's hard to know whether people are following up or not, so it's your task to tell me, it's your responsibility to tell me if I'm going too fast or not. So I assume that everyone did 1/2 plus square root of 5/2. Now I minimize the section again, and I go to the next section, which is help. Now, suppose I want to integrate, or to integrate something numerically. It turns out that the function to do it is nIntegrate. So notice something nice. So when I wrote nIntegrate without e at the end, and when I wrote with e at the end, they have different colors. So nIntegrand is blue, nIntegrate is black. Right? What does it mean? It means that nIntegrate is a function which is defined. And nIntegrate is something that Mathematica does not know what it is. So this blue versus black, it's very important to know if we are making some spelling mistake. So if something appears blue, and if you want that blue thing to do something, it will not work. Because Mathematica does not know what blue things are. They're not defined. nIntegrate like this is not defined. But nIntegrate is, and we can ask what nIntegrate does in several ways. We can select nIntegrate and click F1, or in Mac, Command F, Command Shift F. So we select nIntegrate and we click F1. And this opens help, and the first time it takes a while, and it opens and help about nIntegrate. Now this help of Mathematica is very well done, and it's really the best thing there is in Mathematica, and you should always go to help, read help, and play with it. So you see you have examples in this nIntegrate. So let's zoom a bit more here in L, 200. And you see what it tells you. It tells you how to use it. nIntegrate, you put a function, you put x, minimum, maximum, and it does this, it computes this integral. It tells you that you can use more than one variable. You can have x between minimum and maximum, and then y between minimum and maximum. And this you might be happy, or you might want more information, and in that case you click here for more information. And it tells you what kind of options you can do. You can have several ways of computing, automatic, you can have several approximations to the integral, Riemann with rectangles to the left, to the right, whatever, you can, triangles, whatever you like. What is the accuracy goal, and so on. So there are many, many options, but let's minimize this. The most useful thing is what comes next. It's examples. For example, n integrate sine of x from x between 0 and 2. If you want, you can even play here in Mathematica and change 0 to 1. You see, in the help, I just changed the 2 to a 1. And you can run again, and then just change. So not only you can copy stuff from help into your notebook to see how it works, but you can even edit them directly and just see how it works and understand what happens if I remove some parameters, what happens if I add more stuff. And then something extremely useful also is this C also, which tells you that, okay, maybe what you want is really integrate. Imagine you are looking for how to integrate numerically, and first you would come up with integrate. Then, if you were in integrate, at the bottom of integrate, you will find, there is something called n integrate. This is probably what I want. So this at the very end of help, this C also, is extremely useful. It tells you other functions that you probably want to know about. And it's by browsing this web of functions in the help menu that you learn about what you can do in mathematics. So this C also is extremely powerful when you are looking for something. Okay? Good, so let's close it. And let's go back to our notebook. So sometimes we don't want to open the help menu. We just want to get some quick details about the function. In that case, we type question mark and integrate. And we run, and this tells us the basic of the function. So the very basics of this function. Okay? If we want more information, we put two question marks. And in that case, we also get what are the options. Okay? Very useful. Yes?
Question, how to...
Can you speak a bit louder, otherwise your colleagues will not...
How to put something into one brackets with subtitle? When I'm under the UI,
yes,
it goes under the basics of Mathematica, but not under the formal bracket. How to do it under the subtitle bracket?
Sorry, I didn't understand. But can you speak a bit louder?
Well, in your
yes.
example, everything can be hidden by the last help subtitle. How to do it?
How to hide these cells here?
How to unite the subtitle with everything under it?
It's automatic.
Doesn't do it. Have some subtitle. How to add something to it?
No, this is not subtitle. No, this is the problem. It's not subtitle. It's just not. It's not a subtitle. No, it's a title. It's a title, it's not, it doesn't go section is one. Or subsection. But only when you start writing, see? When you start writing, it merges. Okay, so then something else that we can use is we want to know about functions which contain Bessel. We want to know about Bessel functions, we want the functions which contain Bessel. So something, Bessel something. This is sometimes useful to find functions. And if you click this, it tells us what are the functions which contain Bessel. See, there is Bessel I, Bessel J, Bessel K, Bessel Y. These are roughly the solutions of the differential equation within the boundary conditions at the origin. Then we have spherical Bessel functions, and then you can click in the functions to know more about it, and this is somehow useful. Something useful as well is the autocomplete in Mathematica. So let's write n in. So does everyone have this n in written? And then click Control K. And by clicking Control K, Mathematica will autocomplete. And if there are more than one option, she will tell you the option that you can select. This is very useful when you are doing stuff like function interpolation or something like this, and you are not sure of the name. For example, let's do function interpolation. And then Control K. And you see there are all these, and there is this one which is function interpolation. So you see it's an extremely fast way of inputting, right? I just write fun, Control K, function interpolation. Much faster than to write everything. Okay? So this is Control K. Okay, good. So now we go here, and this was about the basics. This was really the very, very basics of Mathematica. Now let's go to some syntax. So again, let me create control 4, not control 5, to create a section, and let's call it syntax. And now let's minimize the ones above. I minimize this, and I minimize this big one, basic input. So you see, we have a very clean notebook. It's like we are starting from scratch. Yes?
Is there a way to automatically get the previous inputs, like in command line, to start?
Oh, absolutely. There are ways of getting automatically the previous inputs, yeah. So if we have, say, x plus y, okay, and we enter this, or let's, okay. Now if you want to input the input, you click input 125, this gives you the input 125. There are other ways of doing it. So if you have 1 plus 5, now you might want the previous output, the last output, you just write this symbol, this gives you the last output. Okay, so let me erase this. For those, this was a bit too fast probably for some of you, don't worry about it, we will cover it at some point. Okay, so now syntax, again, let's create a subtitle and let's write equal versus two dots equal. So this is devaluate versus delayed evaluate. So let's see what's the difference between these two symbols. Or let's see what these symbols are. So in the handout, so we are now in page 2, it tells us to create this function. So let's do it. A equal to 1, we say that A equal to 1. By the way, let's run this. A equal to 1, just this. And it displays 1. Okay, this is a bit stupid, of course. A equal to 1, it will display 1 as an output. So sometimes we don't want to see the output. Just define A to be 1, but don't show me. Then if I ask, okay, A is 1. Okay? But I mean, I don't need to see the output after A equal 1. It's a bit pathetic, right? Okay, so A equal to 1, we define, and then we don't want to see. I went to the same cell. I will add more stuff inside the same cell. I can do it in different cells, doesn't matter. And now let's do the rest. Let's say that we have f1. And now this is how you define a function of a variable. f1 of x. And you put an underscore, which tells that it's some variable x. Okay? f1 of x equal to x plus a. And we don't want to see the output. Ah, sorry. I don't want to see the output. And the other one is f2 of x. And two dots equal x plus a. Okay? So let's enter this and let's run this. So does someone know the difference, know what I'm doing? Does someone know, did someone play with Mathematica before? So who knows what's the difference between these two? How many people? Can you raise your hands a bit higher so that I see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Wow. Yeah. For those, I mean, I think that what we are doing now is a bit too basic. I mean, you might want, instead of falling asleep, you might want to go to the advanced part and start playing with the exercises. Those for whom this is very basic. Okay, good. So, for the other one. So, what am I doing here? So, first, this is very important. A function of a variable x does this, x plus a. So, what do you expect to get if I ask, what is f1 of 3? We expect to get 3 plus a, and a is 1, so we get 4. And if we write f2 of 3, we get 4. Okay? So far, we don't understand what's the difference between the two. Now let's do something. Let's say a is equal to 2. Let's change our mind. A is equal to 2. And let's run this. Now let's run again. What is f1 of 3? And it's still 4. And what is f2 of 3? It's 5. So this function is smarter than this one. So what happens? What just happened here? What happens is the following. Is that here, we say a equal to 1, and then f1 of x is x plus a, but a is 1, so f1 of x is the function x plus 1. And Mathematica saves function x plus 1. The other one, no, it does the following. It's the function which, once I ask what is x, I compute the right-hand side. Only when I tell her when is x. Not yet. Don't evaluate yet. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So it's like, once I tell you what is x, evaluate the right-hand side. Whereas the first one, it evaluates immediately, and it knows that it's just x plus 1. So if I change a, the second one, she will evaluate the right-hand side again, and she will notice that a changed. But the first one, no, it was just x plus 1 and it stays x plus 1. Okay? So it's the question between evaluate now and then use this, or evaluate later. There are other very good examples which illustrate this. Suppose I have a function, I want to define a function s of x, because I will simplify a lot, which is simplify of x. Okay? Simplify some expression. Okay? Now, if I do this, what is simplify of x? Okay, x, there's nothing to simplify. Simplify of x is x. So this is the most stupid function I can imagine. It's a function which does nothing. Now if I x, what is s of sine of x square plus, let's put y so that you don't get confused with the x above, even though it doesn't make a difference, of course, plus cosine square. Okay, it's the same because s of x is just x. It's really a useless function. But if we say, don't simplify yet, wait till I tell you what is x, then it makes sense. S of x is the function simplify of x. Let's do s2. And of course, s2 gives 1 instead of this. Okay? So if you have doubts about which one you should use, use the second one. But you should not use always the second one. Otherwise, your programs will be very slow because you will have to recompute everything lots of times. Okay? Was this clear? Is it clear what's the difference between this evaluate or evaluate delay? One evaluates immediately, the other waits till you tell her what the argument is. Okay, now there are some stuff here that you can play with a bit later, but how much time do I have? I might want to jump a few.
1 hour.
I have 1 hour. So 1 hour, so I used half an hour. So if we keep the same pace, we can only do 2 more pages, which is roughly enough. Okay. Okay, let's... There is here an exercise. To make it more clear, create a function which prints I am evaluated. Every time you run an expression, this you can do in the tutorial. Let me tell you, the next one you can also play with alone and see what exactly this is doing. Or we can do it now, it's fast. So A is equal to B, okay? If, this is what this means if, if b is an integer. So integer q is a function which asks if it's an integer. So integer integer q of 2 is true. Integer q of pi or integer q of a is false. A is 1, remember? Integer q of another variable, it's false. Okay? So integer q is a function which gives true if it's an integer, false otherwise. And now you can say, A, for example, let's define A. Let's first clear all A, because A was defined above. And now let's define A to be B if B is an integer, and A to be minus B if B is not an integer. Okay? This means not. Okay? I could equally put not and put like this. It's the same. Let's do this. If B is not an integer. And now I can ask, what is A? A is minus B, because B is not defined. I say b is equal to 3, now I run a and a is 3. Okay? So it's delayed evaluate, so a evaluates and she sees what is b, and then depending on which is b, she tells me which one I evaluate. So now if I redefine b to be 3.2, now I get minus 3.2 because b is not an integer. Okay? If I redefine to be 4, it will give me plus 4 and so on. Let's create a new section called substitutions, and minimize the previous section. Again, if I'm going too fast, you please tell me that I'm going too fast. So let's write x, select x, click control slash to make a fraction, x square. X square, square is another useful shortcut. In Mac is control 6, and I'm not sure what it is in Windows, or in Linux. X over x square plus 1. Can everyone type x over x squared plus 1? And now a replacement that we might want to do is to say replace, this is what it means, x by, okay? And now we can put here whatever we want, zeta 3 for example, or 5, and she will replace x by 5. Now I want your attention, because otherwise people will start asking me, how did you put this symbol? when I put a, this symbol, this, I don't know, how is it called, if and whatever, this, and then this one, the bigger, and now if I click space or if I write something, she will automatically convert into this nice arrow, right? But this was automatic. The arrow is just tack, tack, and then whatever, and she converts automatically. So x goes to zeta of 3. Okay, this is a replacement. Very useful, of course, as you can imagine. We have some expression, then we want to plug some value. This is, of course, one of the most useful functions in mathematics. Now let's input the other example, which we have here. We have something like 1 plus x times 1 plus x times 1 plus x. Okay, this is the next example. And now let's tell her, if you find 1 plus x, replace this by 1. Okay? Now something that you, some of you will do wrong. You will do slash dot and then you will not leave a space. Okay? So please leave a space. Otherwise you are doing this expression divided by 0.1. And then you are saying plus x goes to something. So it's really different. So now this replacement and this is what you get. So indeed, there was a 1 plus x here, and this 1 plus x was set to 1, and it, therefore it disappeared, and it became just this. But there is another 1 plus x here, so we would like to do again and remove, and then do again and remove. So we would like to do this replacement several times until there's nothing else. And the way you do a replacement several times until there's nothing else, it's very simple, you just use two slashes. And this does the replacement several times. Again, very useful when you are you have some rule and you want to simplify something. Let's input the other example, exponential of 1 minus, let's put what is here, 1 plus pi, okay, times 2. There's no reason to put this symbol, times. If you just put a 2, she knows that it's time. Minus 2 minus 2 pi. And I want to divide this by pi, as you see in the handouts. What I do, I select this. This is useful to know this shortcut. It will save you really lots of time. You select this, and now I click control slash, and automatically she will create a fraction, and now we can put a pi here. And now we close the back. Okay? And now imagine I have some exponentials like this in a huge expression, okay? And we want her to simplify the exponentials. But for some reason we don't want her, we could do, of course, one thing we can do is simplify. And this gives 1, because actually what's here is just 1. But sometimes we can have some huge expression, and we know that the exponentials are too complicated, but the rest is already okay. And I don't want to simplify to everything, because otherwise she will take forever, and she will just not give anything. So this is something that happens a lot. You have an expression, and you want to simplify by parts. First you want to simplify all the exponentials, all the cosines of something, or something like this. So what we want to do is to learn how to do that. So we say, if we find some exponential something, again, by this underscore, I mean something, like a variable, like we saw before to define a function, replace this by exponential of simplify of a, simplify the exponent. Now, will this work? Can someone tell me why this will not work? So, first of all, if we use A, let's clear all A. Because we used A above, we set A to something. So let's not forget to clear all. So this doesn't work. It just gives this, it did not simplify. Why? Can someone guess why it didn't work? It's related to what we saw before with equal and two dots equal. It's exactly the same thing. So can someone explain why this didn't work? Someone who already used Mathematica, for example? Why this didn't simplify what was above? Yes?
Because simplify A is only A and it's
very good, because what Mathematica is being told to do is the following. What is x of simplify of A? It's just e to the A. So it's just being told, replace e to the A by e to the A. Okay, it's not by simplify. What we want to do is only simplify once I tell you what is A. It's exactly as before, we want to delay. Don't do this yet. wait till I tell you what A is. Right? This is what we want to do. Don't evaluate this now. Wait first till I tell you what is A, and then simplify. So then we need not replacement, but delayed replacement. Like before, we had evaluate and we had delayed evaluate. So instead of this symbol, we want two dots and bigger. And this is the delayed replacement. It will only, you see that A here is blue. This is already being evaluated. This A is green, which means that I will wait till you tell me what A is before I do this. And now if you do this, it works. And by the way, some of you will notice that if I have this symbol here and if I click space, it will convert to this nice arrow here. But here you need to do space by yourself. You cannot just, it's not automatic as with the other arrow. So this is the same as this.
Excuse me?
Yes.
What's the difference between A and A with underscore in general?
So if I just have A, it's just if you find exponential of A, replaced by this. But it must be A, exactly. It's not something. So A with underscore is a pattern. Exponential of something replaced by this of something. Right? So imagine A can be some parameter, can be the lattice spacing, right, of your lattice model. And you might say, if I find exponential of A, it's very small, replaces by 1. Right? This is the kind of things that you might imagine happening. Right? So sometimes you want to say exponential of this exactly. And sometimes you want exponential of something. Right? So A without underscore is A. I mean, this does nothing, of course, because there's no A. This is the most important question so far. I mean, this is really important to understand the difference between this underscore, which means something, or without underscore, which is just A or C. It is what it is, right? If I want to define a function, I do f of x with underscore equal to something. If I do f of c, for example, equal to something, it means that the function at the speed of light, say, if c is the speed of light in your problem, is equal to something. But it's not a variable. It's at this point. It's the same as saying f at pi is equal to something. It's not really assigning a variable. Very important. Another subsection, and we have apply. This is about apply. Apply. Yeah, this is about the function apply and map. So let's create this. Let's minimize the previous one. And now we are told that imagine we want to apply the function cosine to pi. Cosine of pi is minus 1. Now, there are other ways to apply functions. And they are extremely useful. It's really, really very useful. One way of applying functions is like this, like mathematicians do. You have function cosine mapped into pi, right? It's like cosine at pi. And this is why this symbol comes from, at, literally at. And this gives the same thing, it's the same, cosine of pi. And another way that you do is you have pi, and now apply to what is on the left, cosine. So both, these are all legitimate, absolutely equivalent ways of applying cosine. Okay? Now, there are some subtleties, there are some differences of priorities, which what is evaluated first when you have several of these symbols, but I think that's a detail. So, for example, yeah, that's really a detail at this point. Okay, so does everyone understand this? So, this is just ways of entering cosine of something. By the way, let me tell you something about how to define a function. Suppose I want to define a function f of x, which is, say, cosine of x plus exponential of x. This is one way of defining a function. Okay? So why didn't I use evaluate here? Delayed evaluate. I could, but it's absolutely equivalent. I don't mind if she evaluates now and then replaces what x is. I mean, there's no point in delaying this. There's no operation that needs to know what x is before evaluating this. I can evaluate immediately. It's faster. And now if I do what is f of 1, she does, it's okay, it's e to the 1 plus cosine of 1. Okay? F of 5 is e to the 5 plus cosine of 5. So now that we define this function, let's call this function, okay, f, it's okay. We can do, as we said, f of 5, we can do f applied to 5, or we can do 5/f, and these are all absolutely equivalent ways of applying the function. But now I also want to tell you about different ways of defining the function. Not only of applying, but of defining the function. So let's define the function in different ways. Another way of doing it is the following. F, okay? I have defined already F, but I'm using the same letter. So Mathematica will use the second definition. It will overwrite the first and just use the second. And I say F is the function, the variable is x, and what this does is it does cosine of x plus exponential of x. Another way of defining a function. Okay? Let's move this to another cell so that if you want to be convinced that I'm not cheating, you can clear all f. Now we'll run this just this, and it gives exactly the same thing. Okay? F is the function, variable is x, and this is what it gives. Okay? Somehow a more intuitive, but of course much lengthier way of defining a function. Another way is to say it's the function that picks x and maps it, and now I do scape to, and then scape. No, actually it's not 2, I think. Right, it's not 2. It's scape, fn, which is function, and then scape. And this makes this nice arrow. So it's the function that maps x into this. And this is, as you see, for Mathematica, this means exactly the previous line. Function that x goes to there. So this is another way of defining a function. And yet another way, which is my favorite, is to say that x is the function that picks cosine of something plus exponential of something. And then we put this to say I'm done defining the function. So this is really, if you want the analog of variable-free notation. I don't need to specify any variable, just cosine of something plus exponential of something. I don't need to use any variable, and I don't need to say f of something, I just do like this. Okay? And if you do it like this, then you just run and it works. Now, you see the way we did it, we defined the function, and then we applied the function. So, am I going too fast? Is it good? Yes? Okay, good. So, let me recapitulate. Let's put everything together in the same cell so that we understand. So, these are all equivalent ways of defining a function f. So, all this... Okay. Let's use different names. It's the problem with... And you can use any of the functions, F4, to use this. Okay? So these are F1, F2, F3, and F4. They give exactly the same. And again, one use F1 of something is equal cosine of something plus exponential of something. This is the easiest one. The second one is this function. The third one is exactly the same as function. And the last one is coordinate free. You just say cosine of whatever plus exponential of whatever. I'm done defining the function.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What does the end in the F4 mean?
This?
Yeah.
This means exactly that I define the function. And this means that it's to finish the definition of the function. OK? It's to say. This is where the function finishes, ends. Why is this useful? Because sometimes... So is someone still behind? Can I move to the next step? Is there some question?
Just a question. What is the syntax for this arrow? What?
To enter this arrow here?
Yeah.
You do scape, fn, scape. So let me put here as a comment. This is a way of putting comments in Mathematica. Parenthesis star. This you put scape. Then fn, then scape. To put the arrow. Okay, good. So, why is this useful? Because sometimes we just want to define this function at some point, use it, and then forget about it. Sometimes we don't want to, whenever we want to use a new function, to define it, then apply it. We want to define it and apply it immediately, and don't worry about it anymore. And of course, one way to do it would be to type, to just say, okay, cosine of 5 plus exponential of 5. Of course, then I don't need to define the function. But of course, this is a bit stupid, because now if I want to do to 7, I have to change x to 7. So one way of doing it is, let's define the function. So we put here this. We put this, we define the function, okay? Let's put like this just to be safe. Yeah. And now this function is defined. And now that I defined it, I can apply it to 5. OK? Now, this, I know that for those who are not used to mathematics, this must be extremely scary. But this is how you do it. I mean, you define a function. Now it's defined, you apply it to 5 immediately. No need to call this something and then apply it to 5. You can do it immediately in one go. OK? This can be very useful. So is this conceptually clear? OK, of course, the same story. I could do 5... apply this function to 5. And so on. I can still use the previous syntaxes for applying from the right, from the left. But you see what I've done here. I've created a function and applied it immediately. Or I did 5 and I applied to 5 this function that I create. Okay. This happens a lot. Sometimes you want to say, you have an expression and you want to collect an expression with respect to exponentials, right? Exponential something times whatever multiplies the exponential plus so on. You don't want to define a function to collect something with respect to exponentials. You will only use it once. So you want to define the function, apply it immediately, and go on with life. OK. I'm going to create a new section called distribute. And I'm minimizing this one. Again, of course, for those who never used Mathematica and for those who are not very fast at typesetting, you will probably need in the afternoon to go over the file again and redo it and so on. But, I mean, again, please stop me if I'm going too fast. So, any questions about what we have seen so far? Let's create a list of stuff, A, B, C, D. So let's clear all B, because apparently B is defined, because we used before to our example with integer B. And let's create this list. A, B, C, D. And now suppose we want to apply cosine to A, to B, to C, and to D. Okay? So we have some list, and we want to apply cosine to each of the elements of the list. So then we can do it in the following way. We write cosine, and now we write slash at. And this slash at means go to each of the elements and apply cosine to it. Okay? Notice, this is very different from cosine applied to, actually it might be the same in this case, so I might be giving you a bad example. No, sorry, very bad example. Let's apply a function, a generic function, h, which is not defined. Notice that this is h of a, h of b, h of c, h of d. It's very different from applying h to a, b, c, d. Because this gives h of this list, function of the list. And here, list of functions of each of the elements. So is this clear to everyone why we are getting this output? And it's obvious for you that this is not the same as this.
The last one, what does it mean?
The last one is the same as it's what we saw before. It's a way of acting with a function. It's the same as this, which is the same as this.
So you think that your variable, the function, is a list?
The variable is just this list. For Mathematica, it's OK. So all these three are equivalent, and they are, of course, different from this first one. Now, what did Mathematica do exactly? How to define this in a rigorous way, instead of saying we go and we apply to each of them? This is how Mathematica thinks. So let's write this, and let's ask what is full form of this. Full form is the way Mathematica sees this expression. We see it as this nice vector with some brackets and so on. How does Mathematica see it? Mathematica sees this as a function. The function is called list, and the arguments of the function are A, B, C, D. Okay? So list is called the header. Okay? It's called the header. List is called the head of the expression. And A, B, C, D are the level one elements, if you want. Another way of seeing this is to apply a tree form. Tree form is really cute. If you apply, it tells you how Mathematica thinks of this. It's list, which is applied to A, B, C, D. Okay? And now you understand what this at does. it goes to the first level of the tree and applies age to the first level of the tree. Okay? So this automatically explains why the following will work. Let's write what is A plus B plus C plus D. This is how we see it. Let's ask Mathematica for full form. And this is how Mathematica sees this. It's very similar to what we had before with list, but instead of list, we have plus. We have a function plus, and then the arguments of the function are A, B, C, and D. If we ask to see what is the tree form of this, let's try A plus B plus A plus B plus C plus D. What is the tree form? We see again it's plus applied to A, B, C, D. Exactly the same as above we had with list. List of A, B, C, D. And indeed, if you try to say the following, I have this A, B, C, D, and I want to apply H to it, it gives H of A plus H of B plus H of C plus H of D. So what Mathematica did is it went to these boxes here and it applies H to these guys, but leaves the plus the same. So it's plus applied to this function. Okay? Is it clear? So it just went to the boxes A, B, C, D and replaced A by H of A, B by H of B, and so on, but left the head invariant, and the head was plus. So it's plus H of A, H of B, H of C, of H of D. And indeed, if you ask now to see what is the tree form of this now, indeed, it's plus of H, which is function H of A, H of B, H of C, H of D. So this is what it became after you applied H. Clear? Not clear? More or less clear? Not at all clear? So now, something fancy is the following. We can have cosine of x, and we can again ask to see what's the, I mean, here there's nothing, the full form is the same, and we cannot see what's the tree form. It's just cosine applied to x, it's a boring tree, which is really nothing special. And we can say that now instead of applying something to the level 1, we can say, how do I replace what is in the header? Imagine that instead of list, instead of plus, I want list, or instead of list, I want plus. This is something that often you need. You have a list and you want to sum all the elements. One way of doing it is say, where you have a list, put plus instead, and automatically it becomes a sum of elements. So the way to replace the head, there is a way of replacing the head, which is, for example, instead of cosine, you want sine. You say sine at cosine of x. And this, what it does is it replaces the head, before it was cosine, by sine. So this at means replace the head by whatever comes before the head. So if I have this A, B, C, D, and if I do, for example, times applied to this, instead of list, it will become times, so it will give me A, B, C, D, the product of these elements. Right? So the times of this is minus 6. So it replaces list by times. Good. Now, let's again create a new section called patterns and minimize the previous one. Okay? And now we have this collect. And now we have these patterns again. Patterns, we already saw some patterns when we were defining functions, but let's see some more. So let's type this into Mathematica. It takes a while. Okay, I just typed this, and then we say collect, which means collect, and then we say collect by signs of whatever, signs of something, okay? The signs of something, I could put here signs of some variable. This would not matter. It's exactly the same. You see? Or with nothing. And what it did is it went to this expression and collected by signs. We have here sine square times something, sine of 2x times something. sine of x times something, and that something is collected by sine of 2x. So it's organized by sines. You can replace and say, instead of collecting by sines, collect by exponentials, for example. And then it will collect in a very different way, you see. It will collect exponential of 2x times something plus something plus exponential of y times something else. So it identifies this pattern. And if I put instead of underscore y underscore, it's exactly the same. Okay, so this is how Mathematica identifies patterns. So patterns, which means something, not specified exactly what it is done by underscores. So let's see some example where we have some f. F is used already. Let's clear f. So suppose we have f of 2,3 plus f of 2. Okay? And now we want to replace f of something, f of a, by 0. And this replaces, again, f of something by 0, f of a of something by 0. But it didn't replace this. Why? Because what is f of a? F of a is a tree of this form, is f of something. Whereas f of a comma b is f applied to two elements. So it's not the same thing. So this means f of something with one element. So this means f, and out of f there is one branch that comes out, only one branch. There are two branches, it's already not the same pattern. So we want to say f with as many branches as possible go to zero. We have to say that it's eventually a is not a single element. And this we say with two underscores. And now it replaces both by zero. Okay? Let's do a more sophisticated example. F 1, 2, 3, 4 plus F 2, 3, 4 plus F 4 plus F 3. Something like this. And now let's say that if you want, okay, this is a bit too sophisticated. Let's not do this. Now let's say if you have f of something, of course you don't need to copy everything, you can just watch and then copy the relevant stuff. If you have f of something and then a 4, replace this by 0. Now, this almost did nothing. It only replaced this one by 0, because this is indeed something and then 4. But you might want to replace this one also, which has two elements, or this one, which has three elements. In that case, the A must take two underscores, because A can be more than one element. Now it replaced also, now only these two survive, which is what we want. But you might imagine that you could want something where you have, for example, F of 4. Now F of 4 is killed in none of them. Why? Because here it says that we have one element. Here it says they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever elements. But what if we have nothing? What if we have zero elements? Right? We could have, in particular, zero elements. And this is the last one. Not here. When you have zero elements, when you have the possibility of zero elements, you put 3 underscores. Okay? So 3 means, in particular, nothing. If you have empty, so if you have just F4, you also replace by 0. So 1 or more, or nothing or more. Yeah? It's okay? Is it clear? I hope it is clear. Okay, cool. So I have half an hour right now, right?
But if you want exactly 2, there is nothing you can do here.
If you want exactly 2, good, very good. So if you want exactly 2, you would say A, comma B. Two single elements. And now it would replace only this one by 0. Very good. F of something, comma 4. Okay? This is if you want exactly 2. So I think these replacements are extremely important. So are they clear to everyone what I'm doing here? I'm manipulating this pattern, saying if I have something, comma something, you see here I use A and B, different letters. I cannot use A and A. Otherwise, it would mean two repeated numbers, comma 4. Right? It would not mean... So if I use here, if If I have another another one, say 1, 1, 4, now this kills it. But if I use a, a, then the second line kills only the first one.
Excuse me.
Let me remove this f of 5 to become a bit shorter. So you see the difference between the two. This kills any two elements, 4. This kills any two repeated elements, and then, 4. Yes.
So when the previous one, where you had three lines and 4, why does it kill the f part?
Because 3 underscores means in particular nothing. So f with 3 underscores means one element, two elements, three elements, or the empty sequence. Okay? Cool. So more questions. Please do ask questions. I mean, I want it to be very interactive. Okay. If there are no questions, then would it be a good idea to do a 5-minute break? Yeah? Let's do a 5-minute break and then start the funnier part where we'll start solving problems. Okay, so let's meet at 25. I know that this lecture is a bit tedious, very especially if you know already mathematical. In the next lectures, I forgot to tell you, we will do one physics problem every lecture. Diagonalizing a spin chain, doing perturbation theory, implementing fun stuff in mathematica, and showing how we can do it very quickly.
It's a problem with
it wasn't so in previous versions. It's even not so in other labs.
I'm just kidding.
data fixes.
Oh yeah.
Can you show me that recruiting thing after?
The what?
The
yeah.
Either something. Your like do.
Julie will let us
do it.
Julie will pick up the rest.
Let's start again. Okay, good. So, Baba. So, let's start. Let's minimize this section, this pattern. Let's save the file. Okay? If you didn't save, you should save. I mean, I guess. And let's open a new notebook because now we are starting something else. Let's solve some problems, and this notebook is already becoming quite big. So let's start a new notebook. So, file, new notebook, format. We can again choose some style sheet. I will use another one now, pastel color. Also cute. Okay. And you can choose the third one in creative if you want to be scared, because it really is quite scary. And now this one, we will click command 1 and save problems. And now command 4 to start a section. And okay, I don't know what we should call it. Let's call it patterns, the first problem. Again, I should zoom in. Okay, so the first problem, so is telling us to do this, to replace maple syrup into maple syrup. So to remove all these brackets from this expression. This is what we want to do now. So let's insert it. Let's type this. M, A, P, empty sequence. L, A, no, E, maple, close, Y, R, okay. Good. By the way, it's a good thing to do since we are starting a new notebook and we want to be sure that definitions are not loaded, to go here, evaluation, quit kernel, and click local. Local is the kernel that you are using now. So if you go to evaluation, quit kernel local, it quits all variables, and we can be certain that there is nothing loaded, and that will have no messages, so we quit the kernel. Did you all quit the kernel? Yes.
Is there any way to make Mathematica automatically save, or do you have to constantly press control save?
No, you have to constantly press control save. Okay, so I have maple syrup, and now we want to remove the brackets. So actually there is a predefined function to do this. By the way, it's fun to do, let's do tree form of this. We should get some beautiful tree. You see, it's list of, well, this is the tree form of that expression. This is how Mathematica sees. It's a list, inside the list there is some other list, inside the list there are some lists, and so on. And there is a way of Mathematica to just flatten everything, to just put this into a single vector, which is just a function flatten. If I apply flatten to this, it just does exactly what we want to do. It just puts maple syrup. So it opens all the brackets, it removes all the brackets, it just opens everything and flattens it up. Okay? But this is not what the exercise asks. What we are asked is not to use the function flatten, but use only replacements. Okay? So we want to use replacements. So what do you propose? So let's say replace. So now what do you propose to do? If you want to remove brackets, how would you teach someone to remove brackets? What would you do?
Replace the bracket for.
Sorry?
Replace the bracket for a space.
Yeah. So by?
A space.
Bracket by a space. Yeah, but
bracket A goes to A.
Good. So this is something that we cannot do. So what someone is proposing is to say to replace brackets by nothing. Now, this will never work. Bracket doesn't appear here. Mathematica, where is bracket? Bracket doesn't appear here. Well, here we have just lists and something. If I tell her bracket replaces by space, this is not how Mathematica works. This is not how she parses, right? So she doesn't think in terms of symbols like bracket and so on. It's always functions of something. So this doesn't work. But the way we would teach someone is if you find something, okay, remove the bracket. So let's tell her that if you find something, A, and then something, B, inside the bracket, and then something, C, okay? Replace this by A, B, C. Okay? Now, this is almost perfect. We have A, then we have something inside bracket, and C, replace this by A, B, C. But if we do this, I think this will not work at all. It will do nothing. Why? I'm telling you this is almost perfect, but not yet. Why this didn't work at all? Sorry? No, this is okay. I really want A, B, C to go to this. What's your name?
Alice.
Sorry?
Alice.
Alice?
Yeah.
So Alice was saying that it's because the replacement was evaluated. So I can do this, evaluate later, it's the same problem, nothing special. A, B, C, it's not a problem. I can evaluate immediately.
Because A, B, C are defined in single variable.
Very good, because A, B, and C are defined, I must have something. And actually, it doesn't appear such situation where I have one element, B, and then one element. So we can say that we can have any number of elements, any number of elements, any number of elements. And now, it already did something, you see? It already did something. But it didn't work completely. Why? Okay, first someone is telling that it should be 3. Ivan was telling it should be 3. Indeed, 3 is better. Can be something in particular, nothing. In particular, nothing. It's true that I could have nothing, right? It could be at the boundary, like this L here. There's nothing to its left, but I still want to remove this bracket. So it's true. Now it did a bit better, or it did the first one, but still it didn't work. It didn't do it completely. Why? Because we should apply it several times, not only once, but apply it while there is something to do. And now it works perfect. Okay? So while there is something to apply, do this until there's nothing else to do. This does exactly the same as flatten. Okay, good. So the next exercise is to solve a recursion equation. And actually the goal of the exercise is not to solve a recursion equation, but to learn how to use help. Or how to... Okay. So... Sorry. Let's enter the equation into Mathematica. K over K plus 2 times y of k plus 1 minus y of k plus k plus 2 over 2k times y of k minus 1 equal to 0. And y of 0 equal to 0 and y of 1 equal to 1. Now, equal means that I don't want to assign. I don't want y of 1 to become 1 permanently. I want to say that y of 1 is equal to 1. This is how you do an equation. You don't say that this becomes defined as 0. You say that this is equal to 0. Okay? I don't know if this was clear the way I said it. Is it clear? So, I mean, if you want to do, say, x plus 1 equal y, you don't want to define x plus 1 to be y. Or even better, y equal x plus 1. Right? If you have something like this, this is an equation. If you ask, how does Mathematica see this? Full form is equal, y is equal to plus 1 next. But if I do y equal x plus 1, it's just definition of y. It's not really an equation. Okay, so equations is two equals. This is what equal means. It's not an assignment. And now we want to solve this. But we don't know. Suppose we know it starts with RS. Now let's click RS and now control K, which was the way we used to complete the functions. And we have indeed this RS R solve, which means recurrence solve. And indeed, if we ask question mark, what is R solve? You solve an equation, A of n, n, and it solves it. So let's just put solve here. We see the syntax, we put here y of k, and now we say the variable is k. This is what the first line teaches us. It teaches us how to use the function. And now if we run this,
Should you use R solve?
Ah, oof. Over it. Thank you. If you use this, it gives us exactly this. So y is this function here. Okay? And there are no constants of integration because I specify the initial conditions. Otherwise, there will be some C1 and C2. Okay? Very important to know how to use help and so on. Okay, the next one would be a symmetrizer. How to symmetrize? You want to create a function that once you apply it to g of x, y, z, gives 1 over 3 factorial times g of x, y, z, g, y, x, z, and so on. That symmetrizes the function. So there's something nice that we can do. When we have x, y, z, now first let me minimize the previous section. Again, if I'm going too fast, just let me know. I'll slow down, or if you have some questions, though. I won't repeat this disclaimer anymore. Now, I have this list, and I can ask what are the permutations of this list. Recall, this is apply permutations to the list. It's the same as putting a bracket at the beginning and end. And this gives me all the permutations. Now, this is almost what we want. It's almost perfect. But now let's think a bit. What did Mathematica do? X, Y, Z for Mathematica, if we ask what's tree form, it is just a function and then three arguments. But then we immediately think that probably I don't need to put here a list first. I can immediately put the function that I want to do. Instead of list, I can put my function g. And Mathematica will automatically just symmetrize under the arguments of the level 1. So this is the first thing we should think, that Mathematica, lists, and other stuff are roughly the same. Because a list, for us, we like to think of permutations as permuting lists. But for Mathematica, it's irrelevant. A list is just function with three arguments. And all Mathematica does is it picks the three arguments and shuffles them in the tree in all possible orders. So then list or g or plus or times or whatever is exactly the same. It doesn't matter. Okay, so permutations applied to this is cool. Now it works. It gives just g of this. And now, what is the tree form of this? The tree form of this is it's list of g of this stuff. It's quite a cute tree. And now what do you want to do? So sum. How do you do this? There are several ways, of course. You can make total of this, or you can just replace the head, which is list, by plus. So you can say, let's replace the head. Let me do it in a new line. Let's replace the head by plus. And now I get the sum of the g's exactly as I wanted. It's symmetrized. Okay? Except that I don't have the 6 factorial. So I select this, control slash, I have a fraction, Okay. Fine. Okay. Do we want to do it analytically or not? Or brute force. If we want to do it brute force, we just say it's the length of how many permutations there are. Okay? So again, permutations of this give this. Gave this. What is the length of this? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's the 6 G's. So this just gives... So length of this permutation gives 6, 1 over 6. Okay? Of course, the best way of doing it is not in this brute force way. I mean, after all, we should also think of it sometimes. But we just say it's the length of this guy, and it is just this factorial. Oops. Okay? So it's the length of this guy factorial. I put this bracket here because I forgot if Mathematica first evaluates this and then does factorial, or if it first applies factorial of g and then applies length. We can try removing and seeing if it works. Let's try removing the brackets. This is those kind of things that the order, who is priority, what's the priority? First the factorial, I think this will also work. Yeah. So no need for bracket. So it means that if you apply the function here, first she does this. So length of this is 3. 1, 2, 3. And then factorial of 3 is 6 factorial. So this is exactly what we want. And now we want a function that does this. So again, let's define our symmetrizer to be equal to this function. Now let's do it in the way that I like. We can put whatever you want here, whatever you want here. I'm done defining the function. Okay? And now we can apply symmetrizer to a function of 2 variables or to a function of 4 variables. And it gives what it should. Okay? Of course, I could put symmetrizer of x underscore, delayed evaluation, blah, blah. It's exactly the same thing. Okay. Is it okay? Was it too fast? Is it clear? One of the two. Was it too fast for someone? It's okay? Good. So now let's do another one. Let's do something which is a bit more involved. Let's do a deck of cards. It's also slightly funnier. So let's minimize again this section. Tuck, tuck. And let's do a deck of cards. So okay, here it's explained by steps, but let's do it. We don't need this. So the first thing we need to do a deck of cards is to... So... is to create a list of the 52 cards. So the list of the 52 cards is what? It's ace, 2, 3, 4, 5, da, 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 da. It's a bit boring to do by hand, so let's do it a bit better. Let's say that we have range. Now, this might be a bit too fast. Maybe I recommend that you just look and not try to do it live, and then we move to the next exercise. Okay? I just want to give you an idea of how to do it. Maybe it's better if you just pay attention. And then you can, give you the notebooks and you can see it more carefully in the afternoon. Okay? So please just follow me. So we do range from 2 to 10. This creates a list of cards from 2 to 10. To this we join, but do ask if you have questions. To this we can join. There is a nice way of doing join. We can do join like this. This joins the ace. This is absolutely equivalent to saying join the list ace with the list range of 2 to 10. I just find the latter, this one, a bit more intuitive because it really is something joined with something. It's the way we normally think. And now we can join this, the list of what are the next ones. There is jacks, there is queen, and there is king. Right? And this gives me the 12 cards. But now we want to do what we want to do. We want to do hearts of ace, the ace of hearts. We want to do the two of hearts. This is the kind of things that we want. So then we want to pick this list and we want to apply hearts to each of the elements of the list. Remember, this is how we did it. We pick hearts and we apply hearts to each of the 12 guys. Right? This is what it does. So you have a list here. So recall, this is the list and I apply hearts to everyone. But then I want to apply hearts, I want to apply spades, I want to apply all this, right? So what I can do is, I will apply something to it. Okay, now this will be very fancy, so please pay attention. So let me, what am I doing? So I will apply something, okay? This is the function. You give me something and I apply it to it. And now let's apply this to hearts, spades, what are the other two? Hearts, spades, diamonds, and clubs. Okay? And it applied. So what it means? So when I have hearts, it does this. Hearts apply to all these guys. But I also do it with spades. Put spades there and apply spades to everyone. And this creates me the deck of cards. Okay? So I just did hearts, tuck, 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 all in one go. And then I flatten to remove all the brackets. And now I have this nice deck of cards. So if I ask what's the length of this, it's indeed 52. Okay, so these are the cards. Still a bit ugly. So what I'll do is the following. I'll call this deck. But I want a nice deck, so I go here, palettes, okay, writing assistant, I think. Where is it? No, it's not this one. Palettes, basic math assistant, symbols here, all special symbols. Then there are the symbols, then there is this lamp here, you see, it means great ideas. And inside great ideas, we have these very useful functions. So we have the diamond, the clubs, the hearts, and the spades. So okay, so now let's close it again. We already have them here. And let's say that hearts is equal to this nice heart. Let's give it some nice style. Heart should be red and it should be large. Nice, you have some nice heart. Let's do the same for diamonds. The same with this one. Clubs. It's not red. And spades. Here I don't need the bracket. So I just define this. Now I will erase the previous stuff just so that it's always clean. So I just define these nice symbols and this is my deck. Okay? So now it starts to be cool. It's already something that it's reasonable. And now I want to create a function that what it does is let me create a random sample of the deck. Okay, this shuffles. Okay? So this is a way of shuffling the deck. And this I want to call shuffled deck. Okay? I want to call this shuffled deck. But I don't want to see the output, right? I mean, I want to shuffle and we don't want to see. So we put this like this. Now we want to create a function that when we run it, it shuffles the deck. So we call this shuffle. And it's delayed because only when we will run, we want her to evaluate the right-hand side. And then we do this. We put this parenthesis here. Okay? Very important to put a print. Now if I run shuffle, and then I ask what is shuffle deck, it's something. If I shuffle again, and then I ask what is the shuffle deck, it's something else. Okay? So when I run shuffle, it shuffles, and I get a new shuffle deck. Notice that if I don't put these brackets here, it will tell me that I shuffle and it shows me the deck. Then if I don't put these brackets, this is irrelevant, because since it is delayed, the last symbol is absolutely irrelevant. The last symbol just says don't show the output, but the output was not computed yet, so the last symbol is doing nothing. And then it tells me that when you evaluate shuffle, do the right-hand side. But then the right-hand side is evaluate the right-hand side, which is run this, and this in particular will show the output. So what we want to say is run this stuff here. I don't say this is the block that you want to run. Run this block. And this block, because we have the brackets, is this. It's define this, but put a semicolon at the end. Now she doesn't show the deck. Okay, now I can run and this is it. Now that I have shuffled, I can take out of the shuffled deck, right? I have shuffled deck. And I can take the first 7 cards, say. And these are the first 7 cards. So if I would shuffle, and then I take 7 cards. Okay? Now I want to say that, let's say temp is equal to this. This is a variable, a temporary variable. Now let's say that the shuffle deck will be equal to dropping the first 7 cards from the shuffle deck, right? So we drop the first 7 cards. So because we took them out, okay? And we then we displace. Okay, let's put here take, and then we displace take. And now this take is not a variable that I want to define. So I want it inside the block. This variable take is a temporary variable. It takes this, it redefines what is shuffle deck, and then it displaces take. And now I can put, instead of 7, I can put n. I can put n, and this can be my. Okay, take is apparently already defined, so let me define take here and let me call this temp. Okay, so what I do now is when I take 2 cards, I took 2 cards. Now if I ask what is the shuffle deck only contains 50 cards. See? Now I can ask take 2 more cards. Here they are, and now it only has 48 cards. And I could shuffle and so on. Okay?
Can you explain one small time this meaning of this expression with join and range?
Yes. So let me erase everything. So this is all win. So everything is defined here. This is our deck. So let's break it into pieces. This is the complicated one, right? So let's break it into pieces. The first thing we did was we have this. This we can call our list, okay? Or our numbers. These are the numbers that appear in the cards, okay? Now, instead of this, we can put numbers. So now it already looks easier to read, okay? Now, let's define this to be our function. Let's call this function distribute. Distribute, it does the following. It applies whatever I will tell her to the numbers. So for example, distribute of hearts will apply hearts to these numbers. Is it clear? Or not? So numbers is clear, and then here I create, this is the argument, and this is what it does. And then another way of defining this distribute is the following. Distribute of something picks that something and applies that something to each of the numbers. Okay? It's exactly the same thing. So if I do distribute 2, that's exactly the same. Is it clear, distribute? What's your name? Pavel? No.
Mine?
Yes.
Grisha.
Is it clear?
Not yet. With joins and range.
This is the one? Ah, okay. Range just creates a list of numbers between 2 and 10. And when I do join of 2 lists, it just joins the 2 lists. So A, comma B, and then... maybe you are confused with this notation. This notation, as I said before, this is absolutely equivalent to saying join of A, B, comma C, D. It's exactly the same.
Does it this tilde work for any function or just for join?
Okay, good question. So let's see like tilde and see what Mathematica gives and help. I suspect for any function of 2 variables. So this is called infix. Let's try. It's better to try. Let's see. A comma B, I suspect only for join. F, C comma D. No, it works. It gives F of 2 arguments. Yeah? It works exactly in the same way. It should. And as I said, for Mathematica, what matters is the head and so on, and the structure, the tree structure, so it should work. So this is just a way of saying function of 2. I mean, maybe for you it's more intuitive if I do it in the following way. Maybe this is more intuitive. I just like this notation. I can say join, and I can even put the 3 arguments. This, this, and this. Do you prefer this? Yes?
Yeah.
Does everyone prefer this? Yes or no? No? Who prefers? Who prefers the other one with the tilde? Okay, I'll keep the one with the tilde. Okay, good. Now, is it clear now? And now what I did, so just to continue to break it really into pieces, what I did is, okay, so now we have this function distribute, which distributes over these numbers. And what we did is we apply this function distribute to the four possibilities. And then we flattened. Is it more clear now? Okay. But what I did is, because you see, this is exactly one example. I felt stupid defining a function distribute that I was never going to use again. Right? It was just a function that applies something to the numbers of the deck. This is why I preferred to define it here. This is what we did here. We defined that function and applied immediately. So here we defined the function that distributes over the numbers of the deck and immediately applied. And nothing was saved. There was no intermediate functions, nothing intermediate. And it's somehow cleaner. I mean, we are doing a deck. We are not going to use it again. Okay. So now we can create a subsection. And now you could do shuffle.
Of course.
Yes.
Could you please explain why it is the block intake?
block. Because block, you see what it does? It defines take to be take the first cards. So it makes a list with the first cards of shuffle deck. Then it drops them from shuffle deck. So that shuffle deck becomes what it was before with those drops. And then it gives temp back.
But what does block do?
Block, what it does is that now, after you run it, temp was not defined, not some garbage stuff. I run shuffle, now I take two cards, but now I ask what is temp, and temp is not defined. It's just inside the block. Now, it would work if I would do it in the following way. I would just put a bracket here. This would also work, and I would do like this. This would also work. You see, I put a bracket, and what this function does is defines this, drops the cards, and displays temp. But if I do it in this way, temp will be saved now. And I could, who cares if temp is saved? But it's just uglier. I mean, I prefer the variable temp is really not to be displayed. Yes.
So is block kind of like a module?
Yes. There is a subtle difference, so always use block.
Okay.
Good. So this is absolutely equivalent. Not absolutely, I mean, if I would do it in this way, now when I run this, temp is now defined. You see? So I just don't want temp to be defined, so I prefer to do this one. So now we can do shuffle. We can take two cards for one player. We can take two cards for the other player. It's nice also to learn how to do this. We can say player one. Okay. We can make table form. Okay. We can put this in a table where you have player two take another two cards. And we have here the cards for the two players. Okay. So we can shuffle and then take two cards for each. And now, how do we do in poker? We take three, right? And now we see that, okay, there's no advantage for anyone, right? No, the last one, then we take one more. And then we take one more. And okay, the second one would win. Okay, so yeah, I think it's probably enough. So basically, I did all the basic stuff of Mathematica. Now there are some more advanced exercises that I recommend that you try to do. Except there is one, which is the one on Simplify. Let me just show you. Don't do the one on Simplify. Let me just show you what.
Actually, we go a bit. After a second.
Yeah, except the one Simplify there is it's really subtle. I will just skip the one which is called Simplify and try to do the other ones. The memorizer one, it's a bit harder. I don't think you will be able to do. So maybe let me show you the memorizer one. Do I have five more minutes, sir? No.
No?
12? Okay, if Ivan doesn't let me, I'll think I'll stop him. Okay, so see you tomorrow. Okay, so tomorrow we will solve an Eisenberg spin chain. So in the magnetic spin chain of one dimension, we will compute the ground state energy of a quantum spin chain.
Yeah,
I can post them online. They are in the Dropbox folder. I just saved them now. So if you could just.
Yeah, I can put them on the wiki.
Okay, these two.
These are in the Dropbox.
Yeah, I just saved them now. Yeah.
Okay, I can put them on right now.
It should be as possible. They are a bit. Yeah. Sorry?
Do you want them to go up as it?
Yeah,
sorry.
Are they okay? Oh, yeah. People saw that. I didn't. I have an excuse, yeah. I think that.